Correctly, is currently around the light orbs, which she has not only seen, but photographed and communicated with. So I think that might be a good place to start talking with Tony. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Mike. Thank you so much.
Hi.
That was a lovely introduction.
You're welcome. What would you like to tell us about light orbs? Because I'm certainly very interested.
Well, I just have so much fun. In fact, I just, like 10 minutes ago, finished a transmission from them that I'm going to make a YouTube out of. I do YouTubes every week and send them out to my email list. And I decided to ask them about the Earth changes because everybody's talking about it. And you get all the email and you see the news and the TV and, you know, half of it's disinformation and the rest of it you're not too sure about. And I wanted to hear what they had to say. So that was really fun. And what they were really talking about more than anything else was our awareness of our own benevolence, which was not necessarily a word I usually use. I always kind of look for cues to make sure this isn't me. This is really coming from, you know, a different place. And that isn't a word I use hardly ever. And they were talking about the benevolence feeling that we have inside of ourselves that would allow us to not only do all of the things everybody's talking about forgiveness and love and staying in the heart, et cetera, it actually allows us to see through the eyes of God.
Yes.
And when we see the people in the earth and the things that are happening here from that perspective, it changes the way we're going to create the future, because the future is not really there. You know, a lot of people think that the future is out there somewhere and we're moving into some destiny. We're creating it as we experience time, which is a dimension, and we move through time and we create whatever we want to experience. So they were saying that if we'd stay in our benevolence, then we would create what we want to experience versus everybody focusing on, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Look at this cataclysm. Look what's happening over here. You know, everybody's talking about that. The light orbs are getting to be kind of famous right now, which is kind of fun. And when I first was introduced to them, it was probably, I don't know, 98, 99, somewhere in there. And I had been looking for something on the internet, and you know how it is on the internet. If you're looking for something, you end up in somebody else's territory, and you never even remember how you get there. And all of a sudden, I'm on this website where this young man is showing pictures of light orbs. I'd never heard of them before.
And
he was in communication with them, and he had all this information about what they had said to him, basically about himself and communicating with them. It wasn't anything that was really applicable to anybody else. But what struck me was, well, if these are beings and they are etheric and they're talking to this young man, I would assume that they can talk to anybody. So I was leading a meditation group at the time, and Wednesday night came for meditation group, and I thought, well, I'm not going to say anything to anybody, but I'm going to ask the light orbs if they'll come and talk to me during this quiet period with everybody. So I did, and sure enough, they appeared in my mind's eye. I saw three of them. And they began talking to me, and when they were talking to me, I knew it was not me because they were saying things that I knew I didn't know. So I was getting all this information and loving it, and the hour passed, and so I said, well, wow, that was great. You know, I'll write it down. Thank you so much. Goodbye. And they said, oh, no. Once we are in your life, your environment, we stay. We don't go away. So we'll be with you now, you know, for your life. So I thought, well, okay, that's nice. And time goes by, and pretty soon I'm beginning to see them, and they're in my house, and they're just passing by like somebody coming through, you know, on vacation. And the years went by, and I really didn't do too much with it, and then I was on a little personal retreat over on the Olympic Peninsula, which is on the Pacific Ocean, in a place called Lapush, which is an Indian reservation and a resort that the Native Americans have created that's very earthy and very Native American, and I love going there. So I was there, and I was out on the beach one night, and there were light orbs everywhere, just everywhere. And so I said, okay, what's going on? What are you doing? And they said, well, we're trying to get your attention. And I said, okay, you've got my attention. What is it? And they said, we want you to start speaking for us. We want to give you information for people, and you can tell them what we're saying. And I said, oh, kind of like the soul readings I do. And they said, right, Same kind of thing, except it's not going to be you and your higher self getting information. It's going to be coming from us. So I said, well, okay, I can do that, I guess. Who are you? So I can tell people who you are. They're not going to know. And they said, we are the guardians of your soul. And I said, okay, I guess that's a good explanation. So that's what I'll say. So time went by and I started doing this, and it was absolutely, and still is, amazing to me, because they see things in a way that is very pragmatic, a little bit humorous. Sometimes they make jokes and I feel myself blushing because I think, oh, that's just such a crazy joke. I'd never say something like that to somebody. Yeah, and they tend to cut to the chase so that they're not, if somebody says, you know, do a light orb transmission for me, and I record them and I put them on CD, they don't let anybody play games, because they can see us from the standpoint of, as they call themselves, emanations from the eminence, and they see us the same way. And as emanations from the eminence, the ineffable, all that is, whatever we want to call that original source, as emanations from that place, they see when we're playing games with our own selves. And we're trying to delude ourselves because of whatever reason we make up that we think that's important. So they give information from that standpoint. So I've been doing that now since then, which was 2004, I think that happened. So for the last 4 years, I've been, you know, doing these various transmissions, and it just gets more and more interesting. One of the things that happened very close to the beginning of all of this, once I put it on my website and I took the pictures and I said, this is what they said, and, you know, here I am. A lady emailed me from Canada, and she said, you have brought peace to my soul. That's all she said. And I thought, well, that's really nice, but what did I do? And so I emailed her back and said, great, could you tell me more? So she told me this short little story about having two children. She has, like, two families. She had a husband and a son, and then got divorced, and then time went by, and she got married again and had another son. Well, the first son grew up, and the younger son is, you know, a baby. And the oldest son came home one Christmas from wherever he was and said, I have come home to die. And mother said, all right, what's going on? So he started telling her about all these visions he was having of dolphins and whales and just various things. And he was there for 2 days. And the whole time he was there, the younger son, the little one, who was pretty cranky as a baby, was really, really calm and really happy. And so this second day comes along, and he says to his mother, I have to go now. I am to become a guardian of the soul. And he died. And the next, she said, now look at this. And she sent me all these pictures. So, you know, people are coming. They're bringing food. They're doing all the things that people do during other people's time of grief. And she's taking pictures. And all the pictures she took of the little son have this huge orb around him.
Right.
So I said, okay, you know, some people think that these orbs are disincarnate spirits, you know, people who have passed on. And I haven't thought that that was true, nor have they ever told me they were. And yet this young man who died said he was going to go become a guardian of the soul, and I had only had that on the internet for like 2 weeks. I mean, he didn't see it. And off he goes, and then all of a sudden I've got, and so I created a page on my website called Nick's Page. I asked her permission, and she said, you can do anything you want with this. Tell everybody. It's a fantastic story.
Yes, yes.
And I've got all these pictures of the little boy, and he's got this, and it's huge. And he's, you know, he's growing up. He's 67, and she keeps taking pictures, and the orb is just growing with him. It just gets bigger and bigger, and it just constantly surrounds him.
Wonderful.
So it's, yeah, kind of an interesting story.
It was remarkable that you received confirmation in that way. It was obviously set up for you, I think, to receive it. When you talk of them being, they talk of themselves as being the guardians of the soul, would it be correct to look at them in a similar way as people talk about their guides?
Well, maybe. Yes and no, from the standpoint of, when you say that, the reason I kind of hesitate is because my interpretation of guides, and this is my interpretation, so somebody else could say, well, I don't see it that way, is that the guides transmit information to you, and supposedly you hear it or receive it or pick up on it in some way. And I know that some people say, well, I don't hear my guides and I wish I could and that kind of thing. But it's been my understanding that the guides guide you in such a way that you can get their information. The light orbs don't seem to do that in the same way. It's like they're there, but they just don't seem to have such a vested interest. Like some people say, well, I want to have my own orb, you know, like my guardian orb. And I say, well, they don't do that. If they decide that one of them is going to be with you for a while, then that's up to them. But they don't single a person out, you know, to take care of, so to speak. And not too long ago, I was having a conversation with a lady, and I did a YouTube on this, too. In fact, I asked the light orbs to explain themselves, and I've got it up on YouTube under Our Capacity to Love. I was in this conversation with this woman, and we were talking about something having to do with mankind. And all of a sudden, the orbs just popped into my mind and said, tell her it's the capacity to love. And I said, okay. So I tell her that, and we continue on with the conversation. And later I said, what was that about? And they said, we are also guarding your capacity to love. And I said, well, that sounds lovely, but what does it mean? So they did this transmission for me in front of the camera so I could put it on YouTube to talk about how mankind is always looking for love. You know, everybody says they want to find their twin soul, their twin flame, their, you know, blah, blah, blah. And what they're saying is, we don't believe you. Because if you really wanted to find love and you really wanted to be love, you would place all of your time and attention on it, and you're not doing that. You're concerned about your mortgage, you're concerned about your spouses, you're concerned about your children, your car, your house, your job, and then you tell me that all you want is love. And if all you wanted was love, then that's what you would be doing every day. So we're going to pay attention to your capacity to love, and we're going to hold, it's like holding a treasure. It's like holding the essence of something and saving it for you until you're willing to place your attention on it.
Yes.
So from that standpoint, that could be guidance. You know, from that standpoint, that could be.
Yeah. It sounds like it, except the presentation in this way is something, I don't know whether you would say any different, that I haven't heard about until recent years. It's something relatively new as far as I can see.
Well, from what I'm understanding is they've been here. We simply haven't been able to access them. We know mankind is changing. We know we are evolving as a species. We are becoming more, you know, Homo sapiens sapiens, those who know they know. And in that, I feel that what's happening is that our visual...
BBS Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Mike Quincy, Connecting the Light. We're pleased to be back. I'm sorry there was a breakdown which has kept us away from you for about the last 10 minutes. I know you're there, Tony. Can I just recap quickly on where we were, or at least where I was when it broke down? From what you were saying, I was about to ask you whether everyone could see the orbs. Now, I'm getting the impression from what you were saying that that isn't the case. Have you any evidence either way?
Well, we can. I mean, you know, from the standpoint is can meaning is it physically possible? Yes, we can. Does everybody see them? No. And I feel that everybody can give themselves permission to do so. One of the things that happens for us as human beings is that our mind / you know, through our brain, keeps us from doing things that we don't believe we can do. And if somebody says, I really want to see the orbs, I really, really, really do, except underneath it all, they think, yeah, it's going to be a fine day in China when I see the orbs. That's going to override everything because the real belief system is that it can't. So it's really about giving ourselves real permission to see them and then being persistent. It's just like any practice about, and I tell people, you know, go outside, especially at night, because when they show up at night, you can see them easier than you can in the daytime. And just go out to the same place every night, call them, wait, and just be patient. And eventually, if, you know, your mind will get bored enough, it'll stop fighting you. You will see them.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like meditation. You know, I teach meditation, and it's not like it's rocket science. It's a matter of getting your mind bored enough that it just doesn't fight you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's interesting. In my own experience, I can't say that I've knowingly seen orbs such as you describe. But on the other hand, I am aware when higher spiritual beings are around me because I see a blue light. I suppose you could call it an orb. Now, in your Sacred Spaces newsletter, I notice you've actually mentioned that you have seen the orbs in an unusual green, blue, and blue colours. Now, are those the only two colours you see them in?
I've seen them in gold, white, red, black.
Oh, right.
The blue-green that I sent out, that surprised me. And I was at La Push, which was the place where they were in 2004 and asked me to do the transmissions. And I went back to La Push, whatever it was, a few months ago, just for fun. You know, I'd love to go there. And I thought, oh, you know, this would be a really nice place to just, I call it orb hunting. I just go with my camera and start snapping,
yeah.
Even if I can't see them. I just do it to see if I can catch anything. And my camera didn't show me anything. It was like, well, I guess I didn't get anything. Oh, well. And then I came home and put them on my computer, and all of a sudden I got all these blue, and I didn't do anything to those pictures. I just took them off my camera. And
yes.
All of a sudden I've got all these blue and green pictures, and I've never seen them that way before. And I was delighted. I love surprises. And they really gave me a tickle to see them that way. And I know that other people have said they've seen them in a variety of colors, too. People have sent me pictures. A lot of rainbow ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, mixtures of, you know, different colors of the spectrum. So when you're talking about blue lights showing up, I'm not sure that those are always orbs. It sounds to me like that's the color of the manifestation of the spiritual beings.
I think so, yes, yes.
Who come into your environment. Your environment, you personally, as Michael, is very, very strong. When we got that disconnect on the telephone, I was in mid-talk. I was, you know, talking. I felt it in my body. I felt you go away. And I thought, well, I'm just going to finish what I'm saying because people are listening and maybe they can still hear me, so I'll just keep on talking and then I'll finish this little paragraph that I'm saying and then I'll ask Mike if he's still there. And when I did, you weren't. But I felt it. It was like he's gone.
Oh,
so your energy field is really strong.
Oh, well, I think equally you're probably also extra sensitive to the energies around you.
Well, it's possible. I mean, this is how I, you know, I've always been. Sometimes people say, how did you get the way you are? I said, I came prepackaged. This is the way I came. This is all I know. I don't know anything else but this.
Right.
From the time I was a baby.
Right. I notice that you've presumably in recent time been to Glastonbury and you did a meditation at Chalice Well. Did you see light orbs there as well?
No, I didn't. But I did get my absolution ritual there. I have an absolution ritual that I've been teaching for years now, and I've done a YouTube about that too, so that people can go through it with me.
Right.
And I got that at the Chalice Well, but I didn't see light orbs there. I went to this place. Have you been to the Chalice Well?
Yes.
Okay. You know how beautiful it is and how they have all these places to sit, and it's lovely. It's really lovely. Well, I was there with a girlfriend, and I was not wanting. It wasn't like I was really uncomfortable. It was just like I wasn't wanting to sit any place that was provided. I mean, she kept saying, well, you know, why don't we land someplace and do a meditation? And I said, because I can't. I can't be any of these places. I have to just ask where I'm supposed to go. I ended up down at the bottom where Arthur's Pool is, that pool that they have, like, as you're going in, it's over to the right. And there's these potted plants, and I've got a picture on my website of it. There's these potted plants that cover where they keep the tools they use to maintain the grounds. Hose, rakes, rocks, bricks, et cetera.
I
said, I need to be back there. I need to go over there. And she said, well, I'll just sit here by the pool and wait for you then, because I'm not going over there. And there wasn't any place to sit, so I sat down on the ground next to this little ditch that actually drains excess water out of the whole area.
Yes.
And as soon as I sat down, boom, I was gone. And I had this whole revelation about only through absolution can we reach the absolute. That so long as we hold any boundary between us and any other being, situation, idea, and say no, then we are actually creating that boundary between us and source. And then I got this enormous ritual that I wrote down and have been teaching and made this video out of. But the chalice well was just, it was phenomenal. It's beautiful. I really had a wonderful trip that time.
Yes. I found Chalice Well to be one of the most peaceful places I've ever visited. And it's got a certain feeling there, and it's really wonderful.
And one of the people that we were there with, this lady that I had gone with, had a friend there, and she was a member of their society, a supporter, which I became after I found out about it. But in any event, she was one of their supporters. So she had access to their meditation room.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever been in there. And it's absolutely gorgeous. So we went up there, and you can book like a half hour, an hour, or whatever, to go in and meditate. And so we did. And it was just magnificent. It's something everybody should definitely share and get a chance to see. And you're right there, so to speak.
Right. Now, because of the break in the program, I think we'll have to move on to some of the other subjects, which we obviously haven't had time to do justice with. But would you like to mention a little bit about your memories of being Sarah, the daughter of Jesus? I reckon if you take no more than about 5 minutes, we might get a mention in of some other things as well.
Okay. The memories I have came to me as visions first, the unbidden visions. I didn't sit down and meditate and ask for them. I mean, they just came once I was driving my car. And all of a sudden, I'm not there. I'm somewhere else. I'm in Jerusalem. I'm doing something. What is going on? And for a while, I didn't really understand what part this played in history or whatever. I just had all of these pieces, and I kept writing them down. And one day, all of a sudden, it hit me what it meant. And so I asked myself if I could just give myself the information I needed to find out what all these pieces, how they all connected, and I got it. So, what, because, and then I checked that against all of these different visions I was having, and it matched, and I thought, okay, so this is what's going on. I have memory of being the daughter of Jesus, and what am I supposed to do with it? I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. And so I asked Jesus what to do with it, because he would appear to me. I mean, he would just be standing there. I said, you know, what do I do? And he said, you will know when is his time. And that's all he said. I thought, well, great, I'll wait. And I mean, I was like probably 30-something. I'm 61. So I've waited all of this time, and I haven't really, I've told a few people, but I haven't told very many until recently. And I was doing something the other day. I was writing up an article. And all of a sudden, it just came in, and I was like hearing a voice saying, Sarah, it's time. And I went, oh, okay. And I thought, yes, it is. It is time. I could feel it. It's time. So I've got the book half done. I have been writing at it over all these years, and now I need to finish it. I just need to connect all the dots and tie it up and get it out there for people so that people can see history isn't exactly what they think it is.
Yeah.
History is slanted. And this is what I remember. Somebody else might say, well, I remember something different. I'm not here to prove a point. I'm just here to say these are my memories. this is what I remember.
Yeah. Is there much dispute about the fact that Jesus had a daughter?
Well, it depends who you're talking with. You're talking to a dyed-in-the-wool Catholic, yes. I was raised as a Catholic,
and
I know how they feel about it. So, you know, somebody asked me the other day how it was going, and the person is a little bit nervous about the whole idea. It's a friend of mine. And so he said, you know that other website, you know, that thing you put up, and I said, yes. And he goes, well, how's it going? And he's very political. So I said, well, you know, if you were taking a political poll on this, I'd say 94-10, not sure. I said, so those are pretty good odds. But the response I've gotten has been very, very positive. There's been a few people that have just said, I can't go there. I understand that they can't because whatever belief system they have says no. So that's fine. The 90% that have come forward have been absolutely gorgeous. And it's very confirming for me and exciting because
I would certainly support the idea myself.
Wonderful.
It also extends to the idea that's also not very easy to convey to people that Jesus was actually married.
Yes, right. He was a man, and he was married, and he had a wife.
Hmm.
And because so many belief systems, especially the Catholic Church, and I'm not picking on it, it just happens to be the truth, revolves around the idea that Jesus Christ was the only Son of God and that his mother was a virgin and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Anything that moves away from that then impacts the belief system. So they don't want to go there.
But
we could do 25 radio programs on how history has been altered through the various popes/rulers to create the church as it is today.
Yes.
And most people don't know that. And yet, if a person wants to open themselves to new experiences, I invite it. You know, I'm happy to talk to anybody about what I've experienced, and everybody has an opportunity to have those experiences if they move the fear of those out of their belief system.
Yes. Now, again, because time's a little bit short,
sure.
Would you like to say something about your interest in angelic humans?
Oh, yes. The angelic humans. Well, first of all, people think I'm talking about angels, you know, with the flapping wings and the little halos, and I'm not. In fact, that is not what angels are, except that that's how we depict them. An angelic human is a being who has a message, who knows they have a message, and is willing to do whatever it takes to bring that message to the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that they have to stand on a mountaintop or teach classes or, you know, become some famous person. Every person comes here encoded with some message within them, and it's usually something that they can tap into through their heart, but their mind stops them from doing that because we live in such a linear society. Angel means messenger, and the human is the being who knows that he's a being, and we're conscious. So becoming conscious of your message creates the capacity for you to access it, and that is what the angelic human is. And when the information came to me, which in my book, The Call, I talk about it in the first chapter of just painting my bedroom and then walking down the hall, and all of a sudden it was like somebody slipped a CD into me as a computer and said, here, type this.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. And so I just typed it and published the book, and there it is. It was calling for everyone who feels that they have a message and they're not too sure if it's real or not for them to step forward so that they can see the reality of it. And when I sent that out to my email list back in 2002, I was flooded, literally flooded with emails from all around the earth. Just people going, oh my gosh, you finally said it. I've been waiting for these words for so long. And I quote some of them in my book. You know, they were so excited.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my gosh, okay, here we go. So I've been working with this particular theory, idea, now for the last 6 years, and I find so many people who are so relieved to know that what they are hearing inside themselves as their message actually has some validity. Because oftentimes it doesn't have anything to do with what they're doing in their life.
Relate the idea of angelic humans to the Christ consciousness of the planet.
Well, the angelic human actually takes on the Christ consciousness because Christ comes from Christos, which means anointing, knowing your God, knowing your anointingness, your anointedness, knowing your sacredness, knowing your divinity, being conscious of that. So the only way that you can come forth with your message is when you take on the Christ consciousness. And some people have said to me, well, you should take the word Christ out of there because it's in my book. It's too Christian. And I said, well, it doesn't have anything to do with Christianity. Christianity stole it. It's a Greek word that means anointed one. They called their kings Christos. So it's about knowing that we are anointed as, quote unquote, divine beings, each one of us, and that within that anointing, as soon as we stand up and say, I am this being, I am God, I am anointed, and we come forth with our message, then we fulfill our potential.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to fulfill their potential. They can feel this yearning for, like, I know I'm supposed to be doing something. What is it? And it's in our heart, really, the voice of the soul that says, this is what you came here to do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be something huge.
Right, you mentioned at the start about earth changes, and I'm sure you have some belief that we are in the end times now. 2012 is mentioned quite often from many sources. Do you believe that the coming out of people with their Christ consciousness and the message that they have is all tied in with this special time that we're in?
I do, and I feel, personally, I don't believe in the end times.
No, I don't.
I don't think, because everything's infinite. To me, I mean, and that's just how I see it. For me, it's not a belief.
Yeah.
It's just, how can we end? We can't end. We're infinite. We last forever. If the earth explodes completely today, I will still be in existence.
Yeah.
I will still have awareness. So,
I
know that nothing's going to end. And the 2012 part, you know, I just have to be very frank and say, I'm not too sure about that.
That's fine.
I know that there's all this information out there, and I read it, and I go, you know, it's just not ringing true for me.
Right.
Now, and
the
so,
point I would make there is that,
pardon?
In speaking personally, in referring to the end times, like a number of people, it's only relating to this particular cycle. The beginning of the new cycle, as I understand it, is already taking place now. So as one is ending, the other one is beginning. So I'm totally with you in the idea, indeed it's a truth, that life is infinite. So we're not at odds there. I'm on the same track as you.
Okay, good. Well, yes, and when you're talking about cycles, you're actually talking about what the Eastern people call yugas. And this is the end of the Kali Yuga, and each yuga is almost 26,000 years, not quite 25,000. So we're coming to the, and Kali is black, dark, so we're coming to the end of this dark cycle, and then we'll come into what would be called the cycle of light. So from that standpoint, yes, I definitely think that the angelic human message is part of that, because that is going to assist people to see things in the light when they are able to speak their message and other people can hear it and begin to understand that they too can speak, perform, embody the message that's encoded right in their DNA.
Yes, yes. Right, now, Tony, I want to leave sufficient time, which would be around about 4 minutes for you, to tell our listeners how they can get your Sacred Spaces newsletter. You can perhaps give them your website address, although I will put that in with the archive information about the program afterwards, and perhaps tell them quickly about your books, the title, where they can get it. So I'll leave you with all that type of thing for the next 4 minutes. Then I need a minute myself to announce next week's guest.
Okay,
so it's
great.
With you.
Thank you. My website is, I have several, but and they're connected. SacredSpacesWA.com. So spelling that, it's S as in Sam, A, C-R-E, D as in David, S as in Sam, P as in Peter, A, C-E, S as in Sam, then W-A.com. If you go to that website, from that website, you can order my book. You can order transmissions of light orb transmissions or soul transmissions if you desire that. And you can also go to my Angelic Human page, and on the home page of the Sacred Spaces page, it says, just at the bottom of it, it says angelichuman.com, which is my other website. The Daughter of Jesus website isn't really up. It's just a holding page, but you can still go to daughterofjesus.com, and you can see one of my visions is on the home page, and then the second page is an excerpt from the book. So those are all available for you. The Angelic Human website has a lot of information that I have included, a lot of articles I've written. All of the YouTubes I have done are listed with hot links on the audio and video page of angelichuman.com. So everything is there for everybody, and it's all connected together.
I take it an obvious title here for your book, which I didn't hear you mention. It's presumably called Daughter of Jesus.
It's going to be Sarah, Daughter of Jesus, and I anticipate it will probably come out at the beginning of next year. It's going to take me a little while to get it finished.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. What about, do you do any DVDs or things of that nature?
I haven't, up till now I'm talking to my partner, who's very technically inclined, about that. A lot of the YouTubes that we have done, we've been thinking about making them into DVDs, and also I'd like to put some of my classes. I have done workshops throughout the world for years, and it would be really nice to be able to just put them on DVD and be able to hand it to someone so they could do it at their leisure, and they don't have to, you know, fly someplace or go somewhere to access the information. I do quantum physics workshops. I do workshops on the soul. I do workshops on zero-point energy, the angelic human. And it's all tied together for me, so I tie it together for the audience. That's in the future. Good idea.
I didn't ask you very, very much about your early life, but you could perhaps give us a minute or so telling us what sort of experiences you had, because I understand you were born with the innate ability to see beyond the physical realm. I mean, what happened in your, say, early years before perhaps you established what it all meant?
Well, when I was really young, my first memories were not of really here. I remembered where I came from, and I didn't have any reference point for what was there and what was here. What cinched it in, what grounded me here, was my father dying when I was 5.
Yeah.
And my mother said, your father has left. He will not be coming back. You're the father now. And I remember in my mind hearing, oh, now it begins. And all of a sudden, I was really here. And so then I was remembering being here, there, back and forth. And so as I grew up, I had a difficult time communicating with people about life here from the same standpoint that most people communicate. So by the time I was 12, I asked my mother if I could go into the Catholic cloister and become a nun behind the veil, behind the wall, cloistered. Because that was the only place I could go that I felt like I could communicate successfully with the worlds that were my worlds. And she, being a very smart woman, said, yes, I'll ask the bishop. He said yes for the summer, and then my mother bought horses.
All right.
And announced to me that while I was in the cloister, she and my sister would be horseback riding. Well, what 12-year-old girl doesn't want a horse? And I said, oh, this was in Nevada. I could be out in the Nevada desert. I could be horseback riding. I don't have to be talking to people. I don't have to be trying to communicate. I'm not going in the cloister. I'm going to go ride horseback. So that kind of saved me from the cloister, which was a great benefit as far as I'm concerned. And I grew up in a Catholic high school just being very devoted to Mary, to Jesus, from a Catholic standpoint, thinking that probably when I finish school, I'll become a nun. Well, I didn't. I moved to San Francisco, and I met a master teacher there who was teaching a combination of Catholicism and Eastern mysticism. And he had founded a holy order called the Holy Order of Mans, and I joined that. And that was my real confirmation, foundation that, yes, what you know is real.
Right,
because
I don't have to stop you there, Tony.
Okay.
I wish we could go on, indeed. I'm booked up for way ahead, but I'd love to have you come back on the program again. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
It was extremely interesting. There's clearly a lot more you could tell us, but I have only the time left now to announce my guest for next Friday, who will be Dr. Natalie Reed, who explores how we can heal issues from our past, avoid self-sabotage, and make extraordinary changes in relationships, work, finances, and any other area of our lives. She's developed what she calls easy-to-use processes to help people manifest their own new reality. So thank you for being with me today. I'm sorry about the break. I hope you can be with me next week. God bless you all.
Thank you.